Blog Talk Radio.
And yes, welcome. This is Rob Rourke of Rob Rourke of Texas saying hello and howdy. Hey, if you all got the rain, I just was kind of wondering, what did you all think? Well, it kind of cooled things down around here. But, hey, it was a good rain. Something we really will still always need. Ah, yes, and of course that theme in the background is the theme from the 1941 march from the movie, 1941. And, of course, like I said, this is Rob Rourke of Texas. I want to let you know that we can call in at 718-664-9825. Again, that's 718-664-9825. So let's get talking. We've got about 30 minutes to see what we can get talking about. Well, frankly, I'd like to get talking about a few things that, like, we talk about education again. Also want to say that I was at the North Brazoria Democratic Club meeting today, and I just want to say thanks for the invite, and I enjoyed myself. I had a pretty nice ride on the bat cycles to get there. But hey, the point is, we had some good times, and we had good discussion. And yes, if anyone ever wants to go find some good place to eat and that serves one of the best breakfasts I have tasted in a long time, that is the Busy Bee Cafe there in the middle of downtown Pearland. The ride I took, I came in from Clear Lake, went over to 518 and followed that up into Pearland itself. But I want to say that, again, that ride was worth it. It was a beautiful, beautiful morning. Next to no traffic. And, yes, since it's one of the few ways I know into Pearland, I took the scenic route. But on the same instance, it was all well worth it. I love sausage gravy and biscuits. And I got to remember, I don't dare eat them that often because I will gain more weight than I am right now. But I met some new people, met new friends. And we're going to talk a little bit about Bernie Sanders. From what I can tell, Brazoria for Bernie, they're having a Brazoria for Bernie organization meeting on the 23rd of this month. It'll be at 6:30 p.m. at Spring Creek Barbecue. And they're going to have information for phone banking, block walking, Sanders surge, voter registration, endorsements, etc. And updates on the Bernie Revolution. Over 100,000 on July 29th and National Event Day, 28,000 in Portland, 27,500 in Los Angeles. The National Nurses United Major endorsement came really good, Mr. Sanders. Friends of the Earth, he got that endorsement. And he leads in the polls among Democrats in New Hampshire. And if you want to look and find out, you can look up hashtag Feel the Burn or look up www.brazoriaforbernie.com. Facebook, Brazoria for Bernie. Twitter, Brazoria with the number 4, Bernie. And, of course, there's the email, brazoriaforbernie@gmail.com. So if you got any questions, this call, and I'll try to give you that information again. Yeah, I really don't know that much about the man other than he has been a voice, an independent voice, in the Congress and in the Senate. It's been a strong voice. Because you can just look at the simple movements that he's making and the simple response he's getting. Now, I will say it this way. I am not a Bernie supporter. I'm not a Hillary supporter. I just haven't made up my mind yet as far as which candidate on the Democratic side to want to support. But I will support, as a candidate for Congress, I will say it this way, whether it's Bernie or Hillary, I will support the Democratic candidate who will be the nominee for President of the United States. So we're going to talk about a little bit about Bernie over the next few weeks, and the more I find out about him, the more we're going to talk. But we're also going to talk about my campaign. We're not going to let that drop to a wayside. We started talking about education. Pardon me, I apologize. Let me get some water if you don't mind. We started talking about education, about the ideas behind our theory. In talking to North Brazoria County Democrats, Democratic Club, we talked. I made my presentation, as candidates do, and I talked about education. And they called me out. They asked me a few questions. And I told them, I said, this is the idea. We believe that the idea is to go and push education, give the teachers more responsibility. Let them implement a single framework of education that says, here's the basics, what you need to do, but it's up to you. That's the difference. It's up to you on how you implement it. We want to talk about things. We want to put things together as far as more responsibility for the teachers, period. We want to be able to say to the people, we want to cut out the red tape in Washington as far as bureaucracy and education. They may have a hand in the mix. Well, let's put it this way. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Every time we elect a new president, we're going to get a new agenda in education. We need the government of Department of Education, the DOE, become the OOE, the Office of Education. And we need them to build a single framework of education, because, yes, education is states' rights. It's a state issue of states' rights. And, yes, there have been a lot of politicians who, when they talk about education, they say, shut down the DOE. I said, no. We convert it to a government, specific government office. Give them one objective, and that's to build that education, that framework of education, that single framework. You got to excuse me, folks. I kind of, with the day off and resting my motorbike at its longest run, I am I'm just kind of kicked back, and I took a little time and kind of dozed off a little bit. So I apologize. I'm stumbling around here and there. Getting back to the idea, we talked about the idea of a single framework and why for the single framework. Well, we're talking about the education of our kids. We're talking about the less government work or less government red tape. We can cut the red tape with this overall plan. We can fit a specific agenda. Or a single framework, specific single framework, and use it as a point of saying, here's some guidelines, here's the framework. We need you to cover, like, to give you a great example. And I took this from State Board of Education candidate Barbara Cargill from the 2012 election cycle. I have an emphasis on grammar, phonics, handwriting, spelling, and composition skills, as well as a focus on serious literature and English classes. A curriculum that teaches the fundamental skills of math, like memorizing the multiplication and division tables, and discouraging the use of calculator. We take the electronics, the modern technology, out of the kids' hands, and we get them to think. Challenge them that way. Challenge them to learn through actually figuring it out. I remember, and I said yesterday, I remember a child which I helped in the classroom as I was a roving instructor. He could not for the life of him figure out what 9 times 7 was. We all know that's 63. But he couldn't grasp that concept beyond a point. And I said, I gave it to him, I put it to him like this, straightforward. What I thought, so I give him something to think about. What is the total number of points in a touchdown and a point after, which is 7 when you're playing it? When you're scoring the touchdown in a football game. And if I remember correctly, the Texans are playing tonight. I believe it's on Channel 13 at 7 o'clock. So if that is true, and I have not seen anything to the differ, remember, folks, the Texans are back. Pardon me. Second in year under Coach Bill Bryan. But getting back to this child, the look on his face as we counted 9 touchdowns. From 7, 14, 21, 42, 49, 56, 63. The smile on his face that he figured it out. And he had a method of figuring it out. He was ecstatic. Well, ecstatic for a kid in a classroom. But the point was, he figured it out. Not me, not he did it. I challenged him that way. And I just don't see anything wrong with challenge the kids, challenge our students. You know, go back to this framework by State Education Board Chairman, or State Education, State Board of Education candidate Barbara Cargill. Look at the ideas in math. Look at a history curriculum that emphasizes patriotism and free enterprise system, our founding fathers, founding documents like the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Right now, I'm a history buff, but I will say it this way. Think about it this way. If we did not have the Constitution, we don't have the idea of freedom of speech, I wouldn't be here. I would not be here because I would not be able to express my opinions right now. And this is what I'm doing. I'm expressing my opinions to you all and making the argument. And I'm also trying to make the argument as to me being the best candidate to replace Pete Olson in the November elections. And yes, I believe I can be the best candidate. And I'm voicing my opinion. I'm voicing my thoughts. The right to freedom of speech says, I can do that. And the freedom of speech says, express yourself. Go and voice your opinion. It also says a lot of things. And if I had a copy right now, I might read through it at times. During one of the episodes or one of my next shows. But, you know, we need things like this. We need science textbooks that encourage students to think, ask, and predict, have increased lab time, and present evolution as a theory, not as a fact. These standards can be passed on to the states, who can then, if they want to tweak it, they can tweak them. and they could then pass them on to the teachers, who then implement policy. They will implement the standards set by the by the state government and the federal government, and they will teach our kids. This is not. This plan is not going to cost anything because we're changing procedures. So all we're doing is changing procedures, and we're cutting back in a department who, I hate to say it, if anything, has got shown that it has more red tape and bureaucracy. That's my opinion. I apologize again. Now let's get back to this. Let's come up. Let's talk about this. Another area now. We'll talk about let's talk about testing. And I'm looking over here at an old newspaper dated Thursday, March 1st, 2012. And Elisa Falkenberg. It starts off, anyone who can tell you who they are not teaching the test is either a liar or a PE teacher. And that comes from a social studies teacher in Fort Bend ISD, who may not be there anymore. But the point is, we have these tests. I know you have heard it on TV. You've read it in online and social media. You probably have read it in different parts of the newspaper. These achievement tests that we give our students every year are being, whether we like to admit it or not, or we can prove it or not, are probably being taught to our students. They're telling us that in interviews and surveys have said the tests are too easy. I remember even hearing on Channel 2 News, one of them said that their son felt like it was a week of vacation. Now, we're trying to challenge our kids. We're trying to challenge them, trying to get them to learn something. Well, they won't learn anything if they're not challenged. They won't learn anything if the tests are actually being taken or being taught to them, which is not going to benefit them, will not and has not given any benefit to them as a, you know, information will probably show it. Maybe it won't. Maybe I'm wrong. But I'm thinking I'm not. And again, if you have an opinion, call 718-664-9825, and let's see what we can talk about as far as this topic. Or much as you want to talk about Bernie, because frankly, I'd like to find out more myself. Okay, let's talk about testing. You know, right, like I said, every year kids are taught or taking the test. I'm sorry, I'm just still a little bit half asleep. I'm starting to wake up, though. But I think what we should do as far as testing, if we want to do achievement testing, maybe we should stagger it over the K through 12 period. We talk about, you know, say every 4 years. First level of testing would be at the fourth grade level, because our child is starting to near middle school. And then we get to eighth grade, one step away from high school, which will bring us to the year they graduate, senior year in high school. They're about to graduate. Test them then. Test them fourth, eighth, and 12th grades. They're about to take the next step. Well, so let's see what they've achieved at this point. At point A, point B, point C. If we test them at that basis, we're going to see them progressing. We're going to see that how the challenge is, how it's working. And I think, you know, this is, we're not teaching them anything. We're testing them. This time we're testing to see what we've taught already or what our teachers have taught already. We're showing them, we're finding out the results. I've got a 10-minute mark here, folks, so I'm going to go on to another topic. And that is teaching our students how to take tests. Okay, I know there are teachers who say we teach how to take tests. Well, I'll be honest with you. There are some I could easily doubt that on. Because I, from my own experience, and I think we all can say it, there was probably some level that we probably did not get an instruction on how to do a certain type of testing. You know, and I'm saying it this way. I had a graduate class at the University of Houston at Clear Lake, and it was on the history of war, especially America's role in war. And in the past, I've had, and when I was in college, my professors would say, okay, we're going to have an essay test. You're all going, oh, God, not again. I need you to get a blue book. I don't care what you put how you put it down. Just give me the information to know that you learned something. Well, I get this one professor who not only graded me on what I knew, he also graded me on my grammar. I'm willing to bet anybody out there that has had big essay tests in college probably knows what I mean. So let's find a way to teach, put into the curriculum that single framework testing. You know, pre-K and kindergarten, let's introduce matching tests. First through fourth grade, introduce the idea of multiple choice, true and false, fill in the blanks. Fifth grade through high school, short essays in middle school, expand the essays to be a regular essay exam. You know, as far as this overall package is concerned, the idea that there are too many kids that have dropped out of school and too many that still are. Too many students do not learn simply because they don't understand. Too many teachers quit simply because of too much red tape and regulations made by politicians that don't really care. These ideas, granted, are rough, and they can be easily tweaked or even made some major changes in them, as far as I'm concerned. But the idea is give students a reason to learn, give the teachers a reason to teach. That's my opinion on education. And we've got a few minutes, and so we'll talk about another topic in the next episode. We're going to talk about what I'm calling Devin's Law. Because there are a lot of, this is a pet project of mine, and we're talking about, I'm a divorced dad. I'm also a child of a divorced family. And what we're talking about in Devin's Law is, yes, family courts have, this is an issue of states' rights. And we're not challenging that. I'm not challenging this with this piece of legislation that I want to propose, or let's say campaign proposal. I want to see, and I want to pass it on, because think about it between now and the next time we meet, 24.7 million children in this country are growing up without the love and support of both parents. I'm not trying to pick sides. I'm just saying, think about it. It's not me versus my ex when it comes to family courts and the issues that are challenged in family court. I have a daughter, and I'll admit it. I was naive to not fight hard enough, but I jumped through every hoop that they put in front of me. And I still lost in the courtroom. But the one that really lost was that little girl. Yes, I'm keeping up with her through the idea of an email every couple of weeks. and I still would love to hear from her. I hear how she's doing. I just want her to know that I love her. And I regret that I didn't fight harder. But, yeah, well, let's talk about my position from a father's position. Yes, I am at a disadvantage because the system has got problems. And, yes, there's something wrong there. And all we want to do is split the idea of a tax deduction based on child support paid and child support received. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later in an upcoming episode of the show. I want to put a plea out there. I ride a motorbike, and I see a lot of people riding their motorbike. We give the highest time back and forth. And those who don't know me and my bike, it's a little moped design bike. It's blue and silver. And it's got a bat symbol on the front of it. I like to call it the bat cycle. So I'm going to say it this way, folks. If you're out there and have listened to my show and like what you've heard, I'm going to ask for your support for this campaign. I'm coming out, I'm saying, please support my campaign. Bikers for Rob, Rob 2016. Well, let's call it the People on Bikes for Rob 2016. So I ask you, if you are listening and you like what you've heard, let me know. Shoot me an email at rob@robroark.us. That's Rob, R-O-B-B, at robroark, R-O-U-R-K-E, .us. Shoot me an email, or if when the show's on, shoot me a holler at 718-664-9825. And yes, I'm going to have to go through a primary challenge, and so I'm going to ask you, would you sign a petition saying, you want my name on the ballot, and that you support Rob 2016 for Congress. So we are looking at, I am asking for your support. And I want to say, I will do the best I can for you in Congress. I will do my best for you all. And that also goes to the rest of people out there in the District 22. I'm going to get up every day, and I'm going to work my backside off. And I say to my challenger, Mr. Douglas Blatt, you were impressive, but I've got to ask it this way. Have you ever talked with the people, heard what they had to say about things? And yes, it's a 90-second warning. I have. I work at a Kroger's. I sack groceries. I'll admit it. I'm 56 and I sack groceries. Well, that's the best I can do right now as a job. But I talk with them. I ask them their opinions. And the ideas for this campaign are based on those conversations that I've had with the people. Can you say the same thing? Can you say the same thing, Doug Blatt? Okay, and on that note, I will sign off saying Rob Roark of Texas will be back, and I want to give out this quick shout-out to the little lady in Virginia. Shortcake, your Papa Rob still loves you and misses you very, very much, kiddo. I miss you very, very much. And, of course, I will say this as we close. We will be back. We're not going anywhere. I give my motorbike the day off. Point is, we'll be back and we want to talk. And so I will say this way, Texas, good night, sleep tight, stay cool, and enjoy the weather, and I'll say it again, good night, and come back. Bye.